Well, a couple of months ago, Jaws for Windows version 4.51 was released, just as we were doing our review of the Packmate, so it's time we caught up with that and also to see what we can tease out of Eric Damery about version 5.0 of Jaws for Windows, which is due around about August. Eric Damery from Freedom Scientific joins us on the line now. Nice to have you back on the program, Eric, and 4.51's been out for a little while, and then we got a bit absorbed in the Packmate for a couple of weeks there. What's the general emphasis behind 4.51?
Well, of course, 4.51 being a free update to all 4.5 customers, we clearly tried to address as many fixes as possible, but we also worked on, you know, getting additional features in that we just didn't get to in the 4.5 cycle last summer. So we really tried to continue our effort of beefing it up, getting bug fixes in, but continuing to add features. Now, one of the main features, I guess we'll call it a feature, I'm not really sure we should, but one of the main features that we did include in 4.5.1 was this DCM support, which is the device chaining management, which allows JAWS and Magic and Supernova and the GW product and AI Squared products and HAL and everything to be installed together on XP and W2000 and NT machines without causing conflicts to each other or the video chain. And you should be able to install and uninstall these different products on those machines safely and not worry about corrupting your video chain or hurting the performance of any of those products on the computer. I will point out, though, this does not deal with the interoperability of these products. It simply lets them reside in the video chain safely.
A few people have had hairy experiences. I mean, I think it's gone pretty well for most people, but one or two have had, you know, extremely dodgy things happen to them when they've installed the DCM.
Yeah, I think there may have been some legacy stuff out that certainly Freedom Scientific and maybe some of the other companies have put out there. So anyone who's been in early beta versions of these products could see some corruption. But for the most part, it's gone fairly well. And again, we've done thousands of installs of JAWS 4.5.1 since the posting, and we've had very minimal incidents where the support people have really got stuck. But we are continuing to look very closely at those and find, you know, any of the little nuances about it that we can address, and we'll continue to do so.
And I suppose one of the good things is that once it's done, even if there are one or two headaches, it should result in much fewer problems if people have more than one access product on their system.
Yeah, and certainly for educational environments, businesses, dealers, even individuals that might have more than one product that they use on their computers, it should really be helpful for them. And you know, we hope that you know, this has been a long time coming. It's certainly something that all of us and Microsoft should have got together and got this done a long time ago. So better late than never.
And the cooperation between vendors on this has been very constructive, I understand.
Yes, I think it's the first time I think that we've all really come together and worked on something, and I won't say that it hasn't had a bump or two in the road. For the most part, it went fairly well, and I think, you know, we all contributed to the degree that was necessary. And really, the big issue here was getting it developed, implemented, and then tested, because we all had to really test against each other's products. And we had to do that internally rather than expose the consumers to it. So it was a tall order for all companies.
Very good. And so moving to the actual feature set, if you like, that the user really notices, you've made some improvements there.
Yeah, you know, I went back and of course, as the date of this recording that we're making this today, now 4.5.1's been out there for, well, it seems like a lot longer, but I guess it's been two and a half months or so. Mm. But you know, we've been working on this thing since last summer, so it seems to me like old news. But I went back out to our website and followed the link to the JAWS 4.5.1 download, and I read through the page today, and I tell you, I was re-impressed with what the effort that these guys put forward on this product. We had just hundreds of fixes in the product, and some of them were long-standing, and some of them were even recent things that we had introduced. And I encourage people that haven't read it, or even if you've downloaded it and if you didn't read it, go back out to the web page and read it. There's just too many things for me to really get into and mention, but as I said to you earlier, every time I read it, I find something new that I had forgotten about. And one of the neat little features that I got reminded of today was when we dropped in at the end of the cycle, one of our developers had come up with it, and he thought it would be useful, and we heard about it and put it in. And basically, it's on the keystroke insert 4 on the number row, and it is a feature that allows you now to select a symbol from a dialog that gets inserted in the text. So, for instance, if you wanted to embed the euro symbol or the cent symbol, the C-E-N-T-S, or the some other symbol that there isn't a given keystroke for on the keyboard, an accented character, whatever, right in your text, wherever you're editing, pop it up with insert 4 on the number row, and you get a list box with all these different symbols, and you can jump to the one you're looking for using first letter navigation and press enter, and boom, the symbol appears in your text. It's a very slick little feature.
Now, what happened to the graphics label toggle that's on, used to be on Jaws Key with 4?
Yeah, we removed it because we didn't feel that it was being used much, and if you are in need of it, I do believe you can still get to it through Insert V, the verbosity dialog box. You could always go into the configuration manager and switch it, but of course that doesn't make it toggleable. And finally, if it is a feature that you do use with some regularity, I would recommend go to the keyboard manager and assign it to a keystroke. It may be a little inconvenient, and I hope it's not for too many people. We haven't heard any complaints about it so far, and usually that's a good sign. Unlike the when we did the insert, I believe it was insert F6, minimize all apps, when we made that change to the headers list for the Internet, boy, we heard a resounding amount of people that were using that feature. So it took them a while to get rid of that keystroke in their mind, but this one we haven't heard too many things.
Right, okay. I guess it's more of a scripter's tool or somebody who really likes to explore new applications with a view to labeling unusual graphics or configuring. So it would, and a power user would tend to know how to use the keyboard manager to fix the issue anyway, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. The internet has been improved, still doing some work on that.
Yeah, we're continuing to work on it. Again, there were some things that when we introduced the quick navigation keys last summer in the 4.5 release, we couldn't finish everything, and of course once we got it out there, we kept hearing from people about this website and that website, what worked well, what didn't work well. We found bad HTML that we just had to protect against that were causing some issues. So we spent a lot of time still on the internet all the way through the fall. We did add in, for those the folks that haven't used it yet, the quick navigation keys. Maybe I should just mention as a refresher from 4.5, this gives you the ability to, on a web page, simply use letters to move around within the structure. So if you're looking for a table on a web page, you can hit the letter T and it'll move you to the next table. If you're looking for a list, you can use the letter L. And moving by paragraph, you can use P and so on. We added for frames the ability to jump from one frame to the next or backwards. We use the letter M and then shift M, of course, to go backwards. So we added that one in. We also added a feature that allows users now to toggle checkboxes and radio buttons and regular buttons using the space bar without entering forms mode. So much like a user would do in a regular Windows application, moving through a dialog box, when you reach a button or a checkbox, you hit the space bar to do it. You can just do that now on the web, and people have really enjoyed that one.
Okay, very good. There are all sorts of stability improvements, too, in JAWS 4.51. You've tried to nail down some of those issues that were particularly prevalent, it seemed, on XP 2K type systems, where it would slow down over a period of time. Do you think you've completely licked those?
I think we're getting very, very close if we haven't eliminated them in most cases altogether. You know, these are things that have, you know, just started building in the product really since the 4.0 cycles began a couple of years ago. And they were things that we just had to go back and redo. And actually, in this case, it was the development of JAWS for Pocket PC, which forced us to really go back in and address some of these issues in order to get the Pocket PC version going for PacMate. And so in this case, we benefited from the new development of JAWS into the distribution desktop version of JAWS. So we have put a lot of emphasis into this, and people who have been using JAWS for a period of time, back to the days of 3.5 and 3.7, 3.7U, if you've come up through the progression in 4.0, 4.01, 4.02, and into 4.5, and you felt that it wasn't fast enough, or you were forced into rebooting your computer periodically, in 4.5.1 you should see that really really nailed down. I think the speed is back, especially people using Braille, and things have just really seemed to pick up, and the ability, the need to reboot doesn't seem to be there much.
These are hard ones to nail down, aren't they? I mean, I know in my situation, I'm quite fascinated by the fact that sometimes it just disappears, you know? 1 minute JAWS is there, next it's completely gone. So
there's so many variables involved.
Yeah.
There's so many different setups and computers and the video cards and antivirus software and different versions of Office and browsers and all of these different things. It's pretty tough to nail down some of these things, but we do the best we can.
Right. What else are we? We've got new scripts for certain applications. Audible is making some really excellent changes to its software to make it even more accessible, and JAWS seems to be keeping up with updated Audible scripts there.
Yes, I've got a very good contact in Ken Gould, who many folks know out there, who's been a long-time user of JAWS, done a lot of script writing and participated in the development of our frame technology. And he took on the challenge of Audible and did the scripting with that in kind of in coordination with a couple of users that were very very good users of Audible and really wanted to use their applications, and Ken did a great job for us on the Audible script, so that came together nicely. Another program that I want to make sure we give a proper plug to, and that is the AOL version 8. We've been working hard, and certainly the AOL people have been working hard at this over the past few years, and I think it's really starting to come together. AOL 8, I sat down in the recording studio back in January with Tom from the AOL group, and he and I did about an hour and 15 minutes worth of recording about JAWS with AOL 8 and posted it on our training page. And anyone who's interested in AOL or thinking about getting into AOL and wants to get a sample of how it's going to feel, how things behave, how the messenger works, how email works in AOL, how you can browse their services, I welcome them. Go to the Freedom Scientific page, choose training, and give those links a sample. They're little MP3 files, and you can just kind of listen to how it all works.
So is it really worth the bother? I mean, people kind of were curious about AOL 8, but still kind of came to the conclusion, or AOL previous versions, but they still came to the conclusion that a regular ISP was probably a better way to go for the blind user. Do you think it's really worth further investigation at this point?
Oh, I think it's definitely worth looking at. Give it a listen, and I'll tell you, there's so many people, and we talk to them all the time, Jonathan, and I'm sure you've run across a lot of folks that, for one reason or another, they've already got AOL services at the home, and the rest of the family is using it. And rather than chucking it and going with an ISP or trying to go outside those services to use your computer, it's really not necessary. It's working very well. I really encourage people to, if you're not going to at least give it a try, go give it a listen. Listen to these little MP3 file demonstrations, and you'll get a good sense. And I'll tell you, from someone who's been looking at this stuff for a long time and trying to you know, get through some of the challenges that we have in screen reading, I have had enough experience to know when I look at something how well this is really behaving, and it's flawless. I'm very, very impressed with it.
You've also updated the MSN Messenger scripts to work with version 5.0 of the MSN Messenger client, I see.
Yes, I believe they got that right up to the level that they had for the earlier version and seems to be working good. We also got in updated Tax Act 2002 for the folks that were trying to get their taxes done this spring, and we heard some pretty good feedback on that. I think we still got some work to do, and we'll look at Tax Act 2003 and try and make it even better. Quicken. We managed to take a stab at Quicken Deluxe 2003 over the fall. We actually got started on that back in August, I think, and it took many months, and we set up a special Quicken beta listserv that we had a group of people on, and we really diligently worked at making this package come together. And the feedback I'm getting, and I'm not a Quicken user, but the feedback I got was outstanding. Everybody was very pleased with the outcome, and I think we're going to try and, you know, keep going and get this maintained. It's a big step. There's been a lot of demand for it.
Why is it that there seems to be more emphasis on Quicken than Microsoft Money?
Well, there's a lot more users of Quicken out there, would be my guess. That's the one we got the most demand for. We did get some requests for money, but, you know, Microsoft Money, to the best of my knowledge, has not really included anything that really allows a screen reader any benefit to try and use it over another product as far as making it accessible. It didn't really include an object model or MSAA or, you know, any of that. So I think that it was one of those tough programs, and where the federal government's not purchasing it, it's kind of like Microsoft Works, never really gained the momentum and the support of Access Technology products that a Microsoft Word did, just because there are so many more users of it, and in a professional environment, that's what they're really forced to have to use.
It's frustrating, isn't it, because undoubtedly we've made much progress with Microsoft over the years, but there are these pockets still within Microsoft where you get the occasional product that just makes you throw up your hands in horror.
Yeah, and you know, a product like Microsoft Money, we certainly hope, and I'm sure you do, we hope Microsoft is listening. We continue to raise these issues. It's these programs like Microsoft Money, like the Encyclopedia Encarta, and these kinds of products that are so important for them to work correctly for people trying to use Access Technology tools.
All right, before we see what we can squeeze out of you about version 5, is there anything else about 4.5.1 you wanted to comment on?
Well, as you know, the list is probably endless. I'm panning through it right now. I think what I would like to comment on is to make sure that I reinforce something that we actually released again last summer, and this is the HTML challenge. Jonathan, I know you're familiar with this, and you know we updated our Internet Explorer tutorial this past fall, and we updated our basic training tapes this past fall, all using now JAWS 4.5 technology, and the HTML challenge, for those people who haven't really got a handle on all the changes we've done in the past year, I encourage people to go out and check it out. You can find it on your shipping CDs. If you have a 4.5 or a 4.5.1 CD under Tools, you'll find the HTML challenge in there. Or you can go to our Freedom Scientific homepage, go to training, and you'll find it there. And it really gives you all the different types of things that you're going to find on a website and explains to you how they're used, why they're used, and how the screen reader should be behaving, and gives you all the keystrokes, too, in a lot of cases in JAWS. So if you're trying to find out about how to use tables and what the different types of tables are, or lists and things like this, I can't emphasize enough for people to give it a go. And if you're talking with someone who's trying to create accessible web pages, I also encourage folks out there that are writing the code take a look at the HTML challenge. They can view the source, and they can really get a look at how an accessible table is really written. It's one thing to make it compatible with what W3C says. It's another thing that it actually works when they run it with a screen reader, and our source gives them a good sample of how to do that.
Yeah, now by way of transition from talking about what's in 4.5.1 to what's in 5, given that you've talked about HTML, since JAWS stopped supporting FrontPage, really there isn't a WYSIWYG HTML editor that is well scripted or supported out there in terms of a blind person being able to design HTML unless they're competent enough to bring up Notepad and do it the hard way.
Yeah, that's correct, and we're talking with Macromedia about Dreamweaver. I think there's some work to go there. We still are not going to give up on FrontPage. I know that this was one that you and I have been talking about for over a year now, and we're still actually not quite clear on exactly what the issues are there that were causing it. I'm still convinced there's something tied into GDI Plus that's causing the issue, but we've got to get to the bottom of it and try and solve what that is. But you're right. If you're trying to create HTML and you're anyone who's not capable of sitting down and just writing the code to try and use these tools, they're not very accessible at this point. And I think that is an area that has to be worked on, not only on our side, but I think on the manufacturers of these tools to really make sure that they're someone who is developing with that tool, it's going to be coming out as accessible web content when they're done.
It's very good news, though, isn't it, that Macromedia is engaging in the whole accessibility thing, and although there are certain aspects of Dreamweaver that aren't terribly usable, I must say that I'm now doing the ACB radio pages in Dreamweaver, and for basic things like writing up a page with lists and links and things like that, it's working very well indeed, and so that the foundation is there for something quite exciting, I think.
I think that's really encouraging. I'm glad to hear you say that you're out there doing it. I know that Macromedia is committed to getting the job done. Bob Regan is out there at not only the blindness trade shows, but he's at the national big corporate shows. He was just up in Fosse in D.C., and they're talking about accessibility when they're talking to the federal government and clients up there. So, I mean, it's very encouraging. I mean, there's a long road to go. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of developers that need to get educated on our end and on their end. But it's happening, and I think it's a good sign.
All right. Now, I know you're not going to be able to tell me much about this version 5, but can I ask you a pointed question first, and that is that the world seems to be saying, wow, yeah, WindowWise 4.5 is going to work with Citrix. Is JAWS version 5 going to work with Citrix?
Well, it's not clear yet. This is something that we're working on, not only for Citrix, but the terminal server with Microsoft. This is a big task. It's not an impossible task, but this is a significant task, and we're talking now with customers around the world to try and identify specifically what their needs are really going to be if we got it working. It's one thing to work in Citrix or terminal server. It's another thing to be able to run the applications that the customers are then going to be running in Citrix, and there are some big challenges and things that lay ahead in the road. So I don't think it's going to be over as quickly as initial releases by Freedom Scientific or by GW Micro. I think this is the first step in a ways to go. And I think Citrix is expressing their concern and desire to make sure that they can to meet the requirements that'll be put upon them in order to get the government sales, and I think Microsoft's in the same situation, so both companies are becoming much more receptive to get the job done.
What's happening, do you think? A lot of JAWS users are saying, man, WindowWise came out with Flash support first, and I think support for Real One first, and a few other things. What's going on that's causing GW Micro to take these initial leads that Freedom Scientific often pegs back, but it seems that sometimes WindowWise is coming up with these big things first?
Yeah, I don't really see them as being too far ahead of us on any of these particular items. Real One, I can't remember how much they might have been ahead of us. And Flash, I think they were a little earlier on a release, and sometimes it just goes in our release cycle. We try not to be too reactionary. We have a plan. We're trying to work to that plan and get the needs met that the consumers that we've got out there right now are demanding, and we're really trying to address those needs as quickly as possible and make sure that we don't leave anybody behind. So one of the areas that we're really trying to get back to and get this done once and for all the way that customers need it is Java support. As you know, that we've been trying to get the Java stuff going now for a number of years, and we take a few steps forward, we end up taking a step backward. And in 2002, we didn't get as far along in the Java side as I was hoping, and we're back on it this year, diligently working very hard to make sure that the Java stuff gets done right. This is what the consumers are telling us they absolutely want to have. So I think, you know, each company is looking at the pockets and areas where they've got to be focused, and, you know, JAWS is a worldwide product and a leading product, I'll say, worldwide in most of these markets, if not all of them. And, you know, I think that if I were on the other camp, I would probably be looking for some area where the big guy isn't to try and, you know, stake a claim. And it's up to us to then, you know, make sure we're going to address those needs as well if the customers demand it, and make sure it gets done the right way. We really want to make sure that the customer gets the expectations met that we, you know, always try to deliver upon.
Can you elaborate a bit further on what it is about the Java issue that's been a problem?
Well, the Java stuff has been growing and evolving, and some of our initial development work, we maybe didn't take the approach that was going to be necessary as they continued to make their modifications. And so right now we're going back in because we really felt it was critical that we had JAWS cursor support for the application. Even though the application is just an image there, we've got to be able to navigate that image with the JAWS cursor to review it. We also had to make sure that the Braille support got done and done correctly, and that was never really addressed properly. So there were a lot of things, and the bridge is changing, and the SDK is growing and maturing and changing, and we've got a lot of clients out there now, big clients around the world, that are all trying to implement applications developed with the latest SDK and either, you know, the Bridge 1.02 or maybe the new bridge that's just come out, and they're all looking to us to try and find the right version of JAWS to get working in that space. So maybe I'm dancing around the question a little bit here, but I'll tell you, it's been a challenge. It's a very tough area to develop in. It's a growing area to develop in. It isn't mature enough, maybe in some cases, but we're going to get there this year.
When Java support began for JAWS, there didn't ever appear to be one place that you could go and have a web page that said, okay, to get this going, download this and install this, and here's what you do. You sort of had to go to Freedom Scientific for JAWS and then go and find the access bridge and various other components. So I presume that once you've got the issues resolved to your satisfaction at Freedom Scientific, hopefully there'll be one repository of everything you need to get it going.
Absolutely, and this is something that Sun is committed to as well. We have meetings with them on a weekly basis right now. There's a good core group of people in the accessibility team there at Sun, and they're more than willing to interact not only with us but with our customers. And that to me is the most important thing, is that we get the customer to the table. Because it is ultimately it's the customer who tells Sun and tells Freedom Scientific when something is accessible. So once we get this work done, I think Sun is committed to helping, and we certainly will participate in making sure that we get one good location out there that describes this. And right now, I'm not sure where else to point people, but maybe the access list, the Sun access listserv. There are some pretty knowledgeable people out there, and it's probably the best place to get guidance at this point.
So is the whole Java issue something you hope to have bedded down to a great extent for version 5?
I hope to, but we're not going to stop at 5. If we haven't completely finished it, we'll keep on going from there. But we will absolutely try to get it to at least an interim point if we haven't completed it. And we're rolling it into the Magic support right now, so we're the work we're working on, the effort is becoming a more module effort that we can introduce into our magnification product at the same time. So we're very excited about the work that's going on, and I'm confident that come August this year, when we try to put the 5.0 product in everybody's hands, that that work will be as completed as can be, and I think everyone's going to be very pleased when we're done.
What else can you tell me about what you're thinking about when you are now starting to work on this version 5 release?
Well, we're continuing to, you know, try and get back to the basics of maintaining what we've got out there today, and make sure that that any of these long-standing, you know, big issues that are coming up every day, that we continue to work on them. And we're putting a lot of emphasis into this with our tech support department, and getting our tech support and our development teams together for regular meetings, and really hammer down some of these tough issues that just needed to get solved. Some of them are nuisance issues, and that's the way they've been described to me, and those are the things that we're going to try and address, some of those little nuisance issues. Now, in addition to that, we do have some, and I'll say about four major items that we're going to introduce in 5.0, and I will be happy, Jonathan, to contact you as soon as the time is right here, and I think in the next 60 days that time is going to be right, and we'll jump on to main menu and give it a run-through for your audience. And I think that we're going to just introduce some new technology to Windows screen readers that our users are going to just really appreciate and begin to really enjoy using. And I wish I could tell you more, but as you know, competition is about to get their products out this spring. I'd just as soon let them get their product out the door, and then we'll unveil what's to come this summer for everybody. And I can assure you that from what I've worked on and with so far this spring, the users are really going to like this.
Okay, so your feeling is that when particularly WindowWise 4.5 comes out, you'll feel more inclined to talk some more?
Absolutely. Well, you know, our beta testers, we have a group of private beta testers that we work with around the world, about 120, and those private beta testers are very trusted and valued customers, and the people that really help us to form and guide the development of the product, and they have not been privy to the information yet. We're trying to keep this new development effort that we're working on very close to the vest right now. We just don't we see no reason to risk putting it out there and letting anyone steal any thunder from us. So we're gonna really shake up the industry, we hope.
I have no idea whether this is one of your four and how much you can comment if it is, but the copy protection issue with JAWS continues to be a source of aggro, and particularly now that you've got laptops coming out without floppy drives, and people are suggesting maybe JAWS needs to offer some sort of internet-based authentication system. Is that something you're considering, or is Freedom Scientific still quite committed to the floppy disk-based copy protection system?
Yeah, that's something that we've been looking at and working at addressing now for about a year and a half, and that is something that you're going to see as a change this year. I don't really see it as an improved benefit, because we're not removing copy protection or the ability to protect our investment here, but we are looking to get away from the need for authorization diskettes or dongles and get to a more conventional Microsoft-type Internet-based solution. And I think when the job and when the task is done here, and it's been thoroughly tested, I think that the people are going to find this to be a very acceptable solution, and it should be very painless, and hopefully it'll be a very nice transition, and that is something that you'll be seeing this year for sure.
Now, presumably, given that currently you get 5 keys on the floppy, will you be allowing 5 product activations?
Well, the details on it haven't been completely worked out. My guess is that if you're an individual that is a system administrator, or you have six or seven computers that you use because of whatever your job might be, and you have the need to have your screen reader installed on each and every one of those, we will have a solution that allows that to happen for you without any problem. We may want to talk to you before you install it on all of those machines, but we'll certainly have a solution, as we've tried to with our current scheme, to allow people that even have more than five computers to install it on more than five machines. We take care of them, and we recognize that that does happen from time to time. But we, you know, while we've provided five keys, it isn't so much that we've decided that we were going to allow five computers. We know that most people don't have five computers, but in the event someone lost a key, we didn't want them to have to get a key reset. So we've always provided five keys on our authorization disks. We do understand that people may have a computer at home, one at work, and maybe even a laptop that they use somewhere. So I think, you know, certainly three installs would not be out of the realm of possibility to consider for anyone installing this product.
Well, even at home, of course, these days. I mean, gosh, at our house, we've got a network with seven PCs on it.
Sure, but if you are networked, of course, we can even work something out right now with a network authorization for you so that you can have one key on one of the machines as long as the rest are mapped to it.
Right, okay, fair enough.
So we got simple enough solutions. I encourage people that, and I always have, contact our tech support department, explain your situation, and we'll make every possible, you know, accommodation we can to make sure we take care of you, you know, painlessly. We don't want authorization to become, you know, a burden for people any more than it has to be. We're trying to make it as painless as possible, but we do have to protect the investment. And I think that you and all of our users out there who see the wonderful development that this team puts out year in and year out, you want to see that continue, and so do we.
Have you done a cost-benefit analysis, though, of the cost of dealing with all the tech support resulting from copy protection and the cost of allowing some pirated copies to circulate?
No, we haven't, and that would probably be very difficult to do. It would probably be very expensive to do such an analysis. And I think it would be tough. I'll tell you let me explain one of the areas where if you don't have copy protection, it can really hurt. And unfortunately for the people that live in countries where it really wouldn't come up, we all pay the price. But it would be very difficult to get a good translation and a good market share sales. I don't mean installs, because when you don't have copy protection, your product often is installed on many computers in a particular place, but I mean paid-for installs where you can get someone to do that translation locally and handle the tech support locally that will allow you to really develop a market. And if you didn't have copy protection, you would never get the local resources committed to helping you do that. And that's been the case. And there are countries such as Italy and Russia and Poland, and not to say, you know, that the United States, you know, we wouldn't be able to get some of the support that we get from some of the dealers and so forth if we didn't protect their ability to get sales on this product. If they actually have a customer calling them, they really did buy it. It's tough to get those people behind the product if you don't have some sort of a scheme in place to protect them as well.
All righty. Finally, then, what about the issue of, and this is the hobby horse that comes up on this from time to time, about the issue of people who've got very good external synthesizers lying about now, but they've upgraded to XP and the number of external synthesizers supported by JAWS is considerably less than it is under 9X?
Yeah, and we have, you know, while we do get some requests for it, and to be honest with you, as we start looking more and more into Terminal Server and Citrix, I think there could be a comeback, so to speak, for the hardware synthesizers, to be honest. That may be a much more workable solution. One of the things that we're looking at doing, Jonathan, and I think, you know, we're taking steps now to make sure that happens, is posting source for drivers for these external synthesizers that we've had and used in our JAWS product. And to try and get some of those drivers out there, and we'll get some people who are willing to do some driver work and create driver create drivers to some of these older external synthesizers, as you mentioned, that people may have hanging about, and then we'll try and get those drivers somehow distributed and posted correctly for people to give them a go.
And are you still happy with Eloquence? There's no need in the mind of Freedom Scientific to look at other synthesizers at this point?
You know, we're always looking at other synthesizers. We have been fairly happy with the support that we received through Eloquent Technologies when they owned Eloquence, and now SpeechWorks, which owns Eloquence, and we've got a very good relationship with the SpeechWorks folks, and we're very content with the synthesizer, and I think it is very responsive, and the users certainly are not knocking our door down, protesting our choice of synthesizer and asking us for something different, but our ears and eyes are always open and receptive to the other products on the market, and if we could pull something in that would be of significant benefit and it would still give the kind of responsiveness and language support that our customer base is seeking, we will do every effort to get that included.
Well, Eric, as always, I thank you for giving up some time to come on the program, and we will certainly be in touch when you're in a position to talk more about what's going to be in JAWS 5. There'll be a lot of interest in that, I'm sure.
That's great. I look forward. Let's set a time and plan on coming back together in June and do this all over again and really get into 5.0 and do some demonstrations, okay?